Managing multiple projects with joy is the ministry session we're about to hear from Mrs. Lisa Stoner. Mrs. Stoner serves as the office manager for Lancaster Baptist Church. This session was part of the Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010, hosted by Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
Okay, let's do my little survey again. How many of you are a church secretary or a pastor secretary? How many of you are the only secretary? Okay, bless you. Okay, let's pray. We'll let people come in, but let's pray and get started. Our wonderful Father in heaven, thank you for this moment. Thank you for bringing us to this place. Thank you for these ladies, their pastors. Thank you for their churches. Thank you for their labor for you. Lord, I know they're here because they want to serve you and they want to do better and they want to do more for you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each one in this room to thrive in her ministry, to grow, to serve with excellence. Lord, I pray you'd give her tools these days to help her and that she'll go home and implement the areas that you've laid on her heart. Lord, I pray these next few minutes would be profitable, and I pray that you'd guide me and use me, Lord, to help these ladies. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to talk for a few minutes about managing multiple projects with joy. I'll say that five times fast. No, don't say that five times fast. But first, I want to read a verse, Philippians 1:6. It's a very familiar passage for all of you, I'm sure, but I want to remind you, Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." And then verse 9 and 10 also say, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, and that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." And I know God, you know this, but God wants to use you to accomplish his work in your church. And I know you know that. Sometimes we get so busy, we get tired, we're wives and we have children, we're doing all these things together, and we forget that we're doing the Lord's work sometimes. And I want to remind you of that, and we're going to address that a little bit more as we go along. This is an interesting topic, managing multiple projects with joy. The little "with joy" there at the end is sort of a catchy phrase there. And I want to remind you, of course, there's joy in serving Jesus. There's a lot of sayings about that. But, you know, joy comes from doing the Lord, from the Lord and doing his will. There's joy in serving. There's joy in doing what God has called you to do. And joy, in a lot of days in our life, begins with gratitude. God wants you to enjoy work. He doesn't want you to endure it. Okay. And we're not going to talk a lot about the joy part. We're going to talk about the multiple projects part. But Nehemiah 8:10 says, "For the joy of your Lord, of the Lord, is your strength." If you find yourself on a given day not joyful, maybe you need to go to the Lord. Park, go away from your office, turn around, go in the bathroom, close the door, whatever you have to do, and ask the Lord to restore your joy. The Lord wants us to be joyful. John 15:11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you." And that's what we're going to talk about, joy. So then let's talk about the other part of the title, managing multiple projects with joy. What's managing? You guys do it. We all do it. We manage at home. We manage at work. We manage a school office. How many of you are also the school secretary? Anybody in here like that? Yeah, we have a few of those that do many things. But managing, according to the dictionary, is to be in charge of or to administer. It means oversight and execution. So think about your job title, your job responsibilities. Oversight and execution. It's the doing, which you do plenty, but you also oversee too when it comes to managing. And I know there's a team around you that's helping you, and we're going to talk about that too. And sometimes when it comes to multiple projects, and I know you have multiple projects, we tend to focus on one and not focus on the next one until it becomes an emergency. And then all of a sudden it's the one we focus on. So I want to help you maybe today, give you some ideas to help do more than one at the same time so that there's not any one that becomes an emergency. And I want you to think about this phrase, manage it or it will manage you. Manage it or it will manage you. So here's some thoughts on project management. Number one, define the project. Define each project. Define each project. Letter A, accept ownership. Okay, and ownership is a very important term in what we do here. A project without an owner is a mess. A project without an owner is confusion. A project without an owner either doesn't get done, or it doesn't get done right, or it gets done by two different people who don't know that they're both doing it. That's one of my favorites. But when there's a project, okay, and we're going to talk about some sample projects in a few minutes, but there's a giver and there's a receiver, okay? The giver is probably your pastor or your team leader, and you're the receiver, and there's a transaction that takes place. He's giving, you're taking, and you have to take it. This is mine. I own it. I will see it through to the end. Whatever it takes, I'm going to finish it. And that's ownership. And that's a project that has an owner like that is probably going to get done and get done well. Okay, but the project has to have an owner. If you're only in it half-hearted, you'll have a half-hearted result. Okay, so whatever the project is, let's decide what it is and who the owner is. And if you're the owner, accept that ownership. Now, you may involve others, and I hope you involve others. But anytime you involve others, we're going to talk about delegation later. But when you involve others, it's always with a string. It's mine, but you're going to help me with it. And this is your part, but I've always got the string so that I know it doesn't fly away like a balloon off to the sky and you never find it again. If you give it away, you got to still, if you're the owner, you still are attached to it. Okay, you still have to have a little, don't dump it and forget it. Okay, we're going to talk about that too. So define the project. What does that mean? Letter B, ask questions. Okay, what is my role in this project? And there can be a lot of confusion in this one concept right here. Okay, you need to ask some questions. What is the goal of this project? What is the desired outcome? What is the scope? What is the deadline? What is my role as the owner of this project? What do we like to see happen? And sometimes we don't even ask those basic questions, and you spend a lot of time doing something that is not at all what your team leader intended for you to do, and there's frustration on both ends. If you can, what is the scope of this project? What's the desired outcome? So once you know what it is, once you know what it is, let's try that. Then accept ownership, ask questions so you know what it is, and you seek God's wisdom. We work in a godly place, which is such a wonderful thing. And our Lord is here to help us seek wisdom. If you're attempting to accomplish multiple tasks in your own strength and wisdom, you'll be frustrated. Of course, James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. In the book of 1 Samuel, when Samuel was serving under Eli when he was young, you'll recall the story where in the night the Lord was calling Samuel, and he kept going to Eli saying, I'm here, Lord. What do you want? And Eli finally discerned that it was the Lord calling him. And he told Samuel, go back and lay down. And in 1 Samuel 3:9, he said, when you hear it again, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And a lot of times we need to take that moment during the day to say, speak, Lord, I'm listening. And sometimes it just takes a moment. Lord, I need wisdom, and then we got to listen and pay attention to what's coming. Okay, so first we define each project. Now, number two, manage. Where'd that come from? This is not working right. This did this the other day. Manage expectations is number two. And there's three areas of managing expectation. Letter A is you. Letter B is your team leader. And letter C is your team. Okay, now let's talk about each of these. This is similar to marriage. A lot of marriages have trouble with expectations, and this happens in the office too. What's the expectation of you, of your team leader, and of you? Okay, what are you expecting to have to put into this project? What are you expecting to, how, what is your involvement level going to be? What is your team leader expecting of you? Okay, what is the team around you expecting of you, or what are you expecting of each other? A lot of times there's assumptions that are made, there's poor communication, and we are upset because we end up being the martyr. Oh, I'll just do it myself. You just don't know. Well, he probably doesn't know because you haven't told him. So let's talk about you a second. What do you expect of yourself in this project? You should expect of yourself excellence. You should expect of yourself discipline. Don't settle for good enough. Brother Getch has a statement that I like. He says, if you don't have time to do it right the first time, when are you going to have time to do it over? You know? Don't settle for just good enough. Get it right, but get it right the first time. But don't expect to do everything yourself. our pastor, I think, purposely puts a lot of us in a position where we can't do it ourselves. One, because we need to rely on the Lord, but two, there are many, many ladies all around who want to help. Denise, how long have you been folding bulletins? This lady, every Friday, Thursday or Friday, she comes to the print center, she picks up a box of bulletins, and now she's one of a team, many, many ladies that help with this. And she stuffs whatever needs to be stuffed in the Sunday bulletin in a little box, and she brings it back for 20 years. There's ladies in your church who would do that for you instead of you sitting at home Friday night folding bulletins with your kids. Now, that's maybe good family time, but maybe not. But there's ladies in your church who would do that. Be realistic of what you can and can't do, although we usually can do more than we think we can do. Be accepting and expecting of tasks that come your way. So often, and we deal with this with our children too, but don't let the phrase, "I can't," be the first thing that comes out of your mouth. Be accepting of what comes your way. Okay, so then let's talk about your team leader. What are his or her expectations of you? What is he expecting me to do? What is he expecting to hear from me? What is he expecting of progress updates? I encourage you to be a daily memo writer to your team leader, those of you who are secretaries to a team leader, to the pastor, the church secretary, whoever your supervisor is. I encourage you to be a daily memo writer. What you did, what you didn't do, what you're planning on doing tomorrow, what you're stuck on, what you need, have questions. Maybe you can't have 5 minutes with him every day, but you can give him a piece of paper every day that says what you did, what you're going to do tomorrow. If you go to him in this meltdown one day, I have this, and 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 he says, I didn't know you had all those things. Whose fault is that? It's yours. Now, it's all in the attitude. You can't go to him and say, you know, have this big explosion and have the wrong attitude. But your pastor, your team leader, whoever it is, he's not out to kill you or overwhelm you or burn you out, or make sure you have no family time, or make sure you take work home every night, or he's not into that. But we have to work together and communicate to balance that. So what are you expecting of yourself? What is your team leader expecting of you? What is, and then your team. Now, we're going to talk about gathering a team around you. I mentioned some of this, but you ought to develop some key leaders around you that ladies in your church, maybe they're in your adult Bible class, maybe they're retired ladies, maybe they're moms with children in school, and during school they want to volunteer and help. They're new ladies in the church, are very eager to help and participate, and we just have to think sometimes. I do this all the time. I'm in the choir. I'm not in the choir, but I'm sitting in the auditorium looking in the choir. She could help me answer phones. I should call her, and I'll put her name on a list. I do that all the time. Hey, I heard she was retired, or I heard she has a kindergartner. I bet that's her last one. I do that all the time, looking for people that we can bring around us to help us. And I encourage you to do that. I use my bulletin. If you ever saw my bulletin on a Sunday, it's got stuff written all over it by Sunday night. Ask this. Don't forget this. We're out of this. I saw this. Talk to this person about this. And then I go and do something with it on Sunday night. I time activate all those things, or Monday morning. That was not in the notes, but anyway. Okay, number three. We don't have time for stuff like that. It's not in the notes. Number three, create a plan for each project. And Lynn, this is where my handout comes in. Maybe we're going to create a plan for each project. This thing is blank. There it goes. Create a plan for each project. Okay. Letter A, break it down into smaller parts. Have you ever thought, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And so often we approach projects with this blank face of how in the world am I going to do this? It's huge. And then that's when we procrastinate, by the way. When we can't even conceptualize where to start, that's when we procrastinate. And so often that first step is not as hard once we take it. It's the making ourselves take that first step that's hard. Okay, so you have a project, and there's two sample projects here attached to being handed out to you today. And these are two events that you may have in your church that you may be in charge of organizing, executing, okay? And we're gonna use this over the next few minutes to talk about creating a plan. So you break it down into parts. I brainstorm, okay? If I'm in charge of something, I brainstorm. Okay, what needs to be done? What are the steps? What's the first thing I need to do? What's the, what then? What I think is the second thing I need to do? What do I need to do? Okay, break it down into smaller parts. And then give those parts a date and a time, or and put them in order, and then magically you have a checklist, okay? And that's something that you can execute. Now let's look at this baby dedication checklist, because I did something at the top about going back to point number one, and that's defining your role. Okay, and this is basic, and you can have this conversation with your team leader where he says, okay, I want you to be in charge of the parent baby dedication. Okay, well, what does in charge mean? You know, that's vague. What does in charge mean? So maybe you could have this kind of conversation. Okay, my role as the secretary is going to be to organize the event. I'm going to gather the participants. I'm going to let them know what to do. I'm going to purchase supplies. I'm going to make a cue card. I'm going to remind them to attend. I'm going to have everything ready that night. I'm going to supervise the ceremony. Okay? Now, what is the team leader's role then? Okay, his role is to determine who can participate. What if they're not married? What if they're not a member? What if they're a new member? What if he's faithful and she's not? You know, there's criteria there that need to be determined. Otherwise, you have egg on your face, okay? So the team leader's role is to determine the criteria, approve the participants, conduct a training meeting if you're going to have one, determine where it goes in the cue card. It's not your job to determine when the parent-baby dedication is in the evening service, for example. That's the pastor's job. And so here's a clear definition of what you're doing, what he's doing, and the roles have been defined here, okay? And then there's some key dates. When are we going to start making these preparations? When are we going to put it in the bulletin? When is going to be the last day to participate? That's always a big one. Are you going to have a training meeting? Here we have a philosophy that we want all of the people who participate in the parent-baby dedication to be members. They have to be members for at least 6 months. They need to be married, and they need to go to a training meeting of some kind so they understand this isn't just a show. We want them to have some basic parenting principles, biblical principles, before they participate in the baby dedication. This isn't about baby dedication, but this is why we have a training meeting. And then these are steps that could be followed to make that happen. Okay. So we create a plan for each part. What I often ask myself, what will it take to get this done? And that's a step toward helping break those parts down. Write them down in the order that they need to be done. A concept of meeting preparation. The first thing that you have to do before you can plan a meeting is determine the date, the time, and the location. Okay, you can't advertise it till you know the date. And then you have to determine those things, date, time, and location. And where is it going to be? Is the room big enough? Does the room need to be reserved? All those things need to fall early on in your process. Okay. And don't forget the budget. This happens here. Pastor will say, send me a memo. I want this done, and I want it done by Friday. But he doesn't tell me how. You know, if he told me how, he may as well do it himself. You know, but we have to give him the right to say how much money we can spend. And a lot of times we say, but Pastor said, but Pastor didn't know it was going to cost that much money. So sometimes we have to make sure that the budget is part of the process. Okay, letter B, set goals for each part, which this is basically giving it a date. When does this need to be done? What order do they need to be done? What needs to be done? Does step one need to be done before step two? Do they need to be done concurrently? Give them a date, okay? We often do not start early enough on projects, okay? And you may have a team leader who's very proactive. You may have a team leader who's not. Start asking questions early. Hey, parent baby dedication's come up. Can I start on this? Can I start on that? Would you help me with this? And I would say if you start doing that on a regular basis, he'll respond. Okay, and he's seeing that you want to be proactive in those areas. Set a goal for each point, and then letter C is delegate. Ask who can help me with this. Ask the Lord to bring people across your path who can help you. We talked a little bit about this. Now, at this point, the execution can start. Okay, you have a checklist. You know what needs to be done. You know when it needs to be done. This is when you can start executing. You can start doing. We have a saying around here, blind-sighted leaders are blind-sighted. If you think through it, you don't have tunnel vision, you can start executing so that you're not blind-sighted. Okay, and then number four is communicate. Let's see if it'll come up here. Maybe. Too many buttons. Okay, number four is communicate. There it goes again. Okay, now let's talk about communication for a minute, because I think there's a misnomer out there about communication. For communication to take place, there must be action and reaction on both sides, and interaction. Okay? There must be acceptance at the other end, or it's not really communication. You can't say, I sent an email, I left her a message, I did my part. You didn't do your part until she accepts it at the other end. Okay? A transaction must take place. I am giving you something and you are taking it. Okay? Don't just leave a message. Communication sometimes requires FaceTime. In this high-tech society, email, voicemail, whatever, aren't always enough. Sometimes we need FaceTime when it comes to communication. Good managers are good communicators. Okay, so let's talk about communication. In your plan, create checkpoints. Okay, if you're involving other people, once a week you're going to call her and say, hey, how you doing on that job? That's a checkpoint. Or you're going to call her and say, you were going to put your purchase orders in yesterday. Did they get put in? That's a checkpoint. Okay, regulate what you delegate. Okay, if you're going to delegate, again, you have a string, but you're also going to find out if it's happening along the way. Okay. Regularly assess where you are in each project. Once you have a checklist, if you're supposed to have done steps 1 through 5 by Friday and you haven't, at some point during the week, you have to have an assessment. Why have I not done those 5 things? How can I reschedule those 5 things to get them done so that it doesn't hinder the progress of the rest of the project? Follow up. I could just say those words and be done. But don't expect everyone to come to you. You can have a meeting. You can be planning some big event, and you can have a meeting, and you can say, I want you to do this, and you do this, and you do this, and you do this, and please let me know next Friday how you're doing. Of 5 people, one of them might come back to you. You're going to have to go to the other 4 and say, hey, how you doing on that project? And that could be part of your checklist. Call them all and ask them how it's going. You know, this can be as detailed or as skimpy as you want it to be, depending on how it works for you. But don't settle for not knowing what's going on. If you're the owner, you need to know what's going on. And I want to say here, too, about your team leader. I learned a long time ago, no answer doesn't always mean no. Sometimes it means I can't deal with it right now, and I'll get back to you on it. Okay, and as women, I know there's a very fine line between being submissive and being pushy or naggy, whatever word you want to say, okay? But it's okay to ask, if your spirit's right, not like, I asked you 5 times and you didn't answer me. That's not right, okay? But when the moment's right, ask, hey, I'm trying to work on this project. Can you answer this question for me? And if you have to ask it again next week, ask it again next week. But because you've started early, you're not dead yet. And you're not emergency mode yet, okay, because you started earlier. Do you know that it's okay to create checklists for everything you're in charge in this fall already, and it's only July? Yeah. You could do that this summer. A lot of times I find that in churches, summer is no time, dead time, off time. And we should have time off. I'm not saying we shouldn't have time off. But one thing I really have learned to love about leadership conference is every drawer, every closet gets cleaned because you're coming. Company's coming. But every closet needs to be cleaned. What a great excuse to clean. But sometimes that could be part of your summer if you'd make yourself do it. What's upstairs behind that door? Who knows what's behind that door? It's a good summer project. It's a good thing to do maybe while the pastor's on vacation. Create checklists. Wouldn't that be something if your pastor came home from vacation and you gave him a checklist for everything that's happening in the fall? Great vacation. Okay. So we're going to create checkpoints, and we're going to set reminders. Letter B, set reminders. Now, I don't know, I hope all of you have some sort of a time system manager that you use, whether it's a 3x5 card, whether it's an old Tickler file with ABC 123, whether it's a Franklin Covey leather binder, whether it's an iPad or whatever, or it's some computer program, or it's a binder, whatever it is. Find out what works for you and live by it. You know, our mind is an amazing organ. It keeps things going until it has a system that it can trust. If you've got something in your mind, I got to remember this. Your mind is going to keep thinking about it. But if you have a system where you write it down and you know you're going to come across that reminder in 3 months, your mind can let it go. and you can sleep at night. So what, develop that system of reminders. If it's a, like I said, if it's Outlook, if it's a, for years and years and years, I had just a three-ring binder, and I had a January through December calendar, and if I knew I needed to do something in December, I could go to December and write it down. And then come December, I'm going to see it, because I lived by it. My kids call it my brain. Where's my brain? I use it now, but I use my Outlook also. But set reminders. If you could take all of those checkpoints and put them into your Outlook, and boom, up every day comes a reminder. Oh yeah, today I gotta send that letter. Up comes a reminder right on your Outlook or whatever your system is. Put your checklist into a reminder system so you don't have to remember it. It reminds you instead. Remind yourself a couple of days before something's due if it's gonna take time. If it's gonna take you 2 days to do a letter, put your reminder 2 days before the letter needs to go out so that you should give yourself time to do it. Okay, and then letter C is review. And we've said this, but the art of asking questions, you can have influence amongst your pastoral staff if you ask questions with the right spirit. For years and years and years, I did our church bulletin. And I don't physically do it now. I still help with it. But I could go to a brother first and say, hey, soul winning kickoff's coming up. I need the details. Or can you give me the details? And I'm not doing his job for him. You know, I'm not pushing him. I'm just saying, if you want your activity in the bulletin, you might want to give me your stuff, is what I'm saying to him. You know. And so by, hey, are we going to have this? Or hey, what time is that? Or hey, what room is that going to be in? And asking questions gets people thinking about forward thinking, because you're forward thinking. So ask questions within your area. Communication should be frequent, thorough, honest, and solution oriented. When you do find things that need to be dealt with. Okay, so number 5 is solve unexpected problems. Solve unexpected problems. Sometimes I find this with younger staff in particular. They are surprised at problems. But we should not be surprised at problems. There's a devil who doesn't want you to accomplish that project. I told our staff last week, your car's going to break down, you're going to run out of gas, you're going to have a run in your hose, you're going to have, you know, whatever. All these things are going to happen. Don't let it surprise you, because that means God is going to do something. There's not going to be opposition if God's not doing something. And it's true in your church, too. There's going to be opposition, or there's going to be unplanned things that happen. There's something's going to... What do you do when the copier breaks? You know, I think this time of year there's a little demon in the copier. I do. But, so letter A is be prepared for problems. Be prepared. Spiritual warfare is real. Don't let the devil surprise you. Now, we're not here to hide problems. We're here to solve them. I'm sure most of you remember the story of... Sully Sullenberger. He's the pilot who landed a passenger plane in the Hudson River January of last year. And I read a story about him, and of course all of his personal effects were at the bottom of the river, and they were rescued and dried out and delivered to him. And one of the items is a binder, a flight manual that he has about every airport in the country and information about that. And in the front of that, years ago, he had taped a fortune cookie in the front of that manual, and when he got it back, it was still there, and it read, "A delay is better than a disaster. A delay is better than a disaster." Sometimes your project will be delayed, and sometimes that's okay. It's better to have it delayed than have it wrong, have to redo it, have a problem. You know, it could cause problems down the road, but sometimes we just go full barrel, I have a deadline and that's it. Tough, I'm just gonna make this deadline no matter what comes out. And sometimes that's where flexibility comes in, problem solving comes. You know, you have, the thing about volunteers, I couldn't do what I do without volunteers, but they are volunteers. They go on vacation, their kids get sick. You know, you can't put all your eggs in the volunteer basket sometimes. Sometimes you gotta do it yourself and solve problems and come up with solutions and think out of the box. And be prepared for problems. Letter B, be proactive. Sometimes you can see a problem coming a mile away, but we don't want to deal with it because we don't like dealing with it. we see somebody, maybe we've enlisted a new volunteer and we don't know her very well, and along the way we realize that she really probably can't do what we've asked her to do. Okay, what are you going to do? Are you going to let her fall on her face, or are you going to jump in and help her? Bring somebody along her side. Help her as much as you can. Be proactive. You see the problem coming. You're asking questions. You're not getting answers. You're not getting answers. You're not getting answers. Jump in and do something about it. If you're not seeing progress, make something happen yourself. And that requires courage. It's not always easy. John Wooden said, and of course he just passed away, he had some great quotes, and one of his was, "Success is never final. Failure is never fatal. It's courage that counts," which I thought was an interesting. And courage is important when dealing with projects and people. Letter C, be a problem solver. Ask the Lord to help you. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, Psalm 46:10, says, "Be still and know that I am God." And there are times during your day when we need to just stop and listen, humble ourselves and listen and be still before the Lord. And then we need to be courageous to obey whatever comes our way. I've said oftentimes, whenever I've made a mistake, and there have been lots and there have been plenty of really big ones, I can always point back to the moment where I made a decision. I had a choice, a decision to make, and I made the wrong decision. Or I didn't follow a thought or a feeling. Or I didn't ask, in the back of my mind, I thought, you know, I need to double check on this. And I thought, I don't have time to double check on it, and I didn't, and I got burned. But I can always point back to that moment because the Lord gives us that. And we need to learn to listen to that. When you have that question in the back of your mind, does this need to be read again? It probably does need to be read again. Do I need to look at that one more time? Do I just need to take one? You know, sometimes I'll just put something down and I'll go to lunch and I'll come back and I'll go, whew, glad I waited on that, because there's something in it that needed to be right or fixed, a typo, whatever. You got to learn to listen to that leading of the Holy Spirit all day long in your office. Now, let me say this too about problem solving. We've all done this, and I've done it too. We say, that happens every year. How many of you said that? Why does that happen every year? Okay, well, do something about it. Make sure it doesn't happen next year. Write your, you know, sometimes I keep my time organizer pages and my calendar notations, and I go back and look. If I'm heading into leadership conference, I go back and look at last year's notes. What was I doing last year? What am I missing? Am I missing something? And usually the things that are real big, highlighted, bold, circled, those are usually problems last year. And if I think about it, I can solve them this year ahead of time. I said this a couple years ago in a session. Great ideas are going to come up at the last minute. No matter what your project is, your pastor, he's got something on his mind, it's fall program, it's what at Christmas, whatever it is, and he's going to have this great idea, and he's going to ask you to execute it. Okay, and you did it, you went to the wall, you finished it, he loved it. And you did extra to make it happen. Now you can all, something's come into your mind where you've done that. Okay, now next year, you have a choice to make. Say it's a Christmas project, say it's a gift for everybody who comes to the musical, okay? And you did it Friday night before the musical so that everybody had a gift. Okay, now next year you have a choice in November. You can say, Pastor, you did this last year. Do you want to do it again? Or you can say, I hope he doesn't want to do that again. Okay, well, if it was a good idea last year and it was successful, what do you think he's going to say? So if it's an emergency again, it's probably your fault. Ask him in November. Do you want to do this again? I'll make it happen. That's what we're talking about, being proactive, being a problem solver. Okay, number six. This is a Dr. R word. I like this word. Take copious notes. Dr. R is our vocabulary man. Okay, and here's what I want to say about your notes. Letter A is files. You should keep your checklist. If you sent letters out inviting parents to participate in the parent-baby dedication, put a copy of the letter in your file. If you, the certificate that you print for baby dedication, put a copy of it in the file. All those things, keep it. Don't reinvent the wheel next year. Or if someone else does it next year, you have this really great file that you can hand her. Here's everything you need to know. Ask me if you have any questions, okay? Have a file, have a filing system. Keep records, that's letter B. Keep a record of how many you ordered. This is a big deal around here at Leadership Conference. How many you ordered? How was it enough? How much did it cost? Was it over budget? Was it under budget? What was added at the last minute? Where did you get it? What vendor did you use? Did you like that vendor? Did you not like that vendor? All those things should be recorded. You will not remember it. How many of you are young moms in here? Okay, you think now you're going to remember every tooth and every haircut and every step. You won't. You got to write it down. I can't remember which of my kids walked at 9 months and which one walked at 10 months. I have to look, but I have it in a book so I can look smart when they ask me, oh, let's go look in your book, because I don't remember. You think you're going to remember. It's really big right now in your life, but you're not going to remember 12 months from now. So create a system that works for you of keeping this information. And then a summary, some kind of a summary, okay? This is what we did. This is what the next time I want to have the parents come on the other side of the platform, or next time they need to be in alphabetic order, or next time, whatever. Whatever, we'll do a lot of this in the next week about leadership conference. And write out some thoughts on the event, what worked, what didn't work, what you would want to do differently, what you want to remember. Make changes to your checklist. If you look at the baby dedication checklist, I put at the end, note for next time, add a photographer. So say you have a baby dedication and then you think, man, I wish I'd had somebody on the front row taking a picture of every baby. Now, are you going to remember that next time? Write it down, put it in your file, and then add it to your checklist. Line up a photographer, plan to mail pictures or email pictures to the parents, whatever, so that next time your checklist works for you. Do this while these facts are fresh in your mind. Ask for input from those who helped you. How do you think we could have done this different, or how could we have improved this? And don't take it personally if they do have improvements to your project. They're helping you, okay? Not being critical. Okay, number 7. Rejoice and get started on the next project. But there is Proverbs 13:19, it's coming, says the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. There's so much to be said for finishing something and finishing it well. There's joy in that. But rejoice, get started on the next project. It's important that you give credit to those who helped you. Be a thank you note writer. Be an encourager of those who have, a lady who helps you and helps you and helps you and does not feel appreciated is not going to always help you. But you need her. You need her to develop in this area. How many of you registered on Monday? Did you come in the Revels building on Monday and pick up your packet and there was all this food in there, this delicious food? A volunteer did that. She's been doing it for me for several years. She loves it. She owns it. She does all the shopping. She sets it up. She gets all the fine china out. She cleans it up. She gets the workers. And I didn't do anything except help her get the money that she needed. That's it. And it's wonderful. And she can't ever leave. But I need to make sure that she knows that I appreciate her. And I'm going to ask her. I'm going to tell her, next year is going to be big. What are we going to do for next year? Do you have any ideas for next year? I know you're going to need more money, but what else are you going to need next year, And let her help me grow that area. Okay, so there's some thoughts on project management. And we have a couple minutes for questions, if you have questions. It doesn't necessarily have to be about project management. If you have a church office question, I might be able to answer it for you. Yes, ma'am.
How do you keep your brain from exploding when you've got 5 projects?
I have that. My kids laugh at me because I have a 3 o'clock flurry every day. They get out of school and they come to my office and there's a line out my door. They think, Mom, do you live that way all the time? I go, it's something about 3 o'clock. I don't know what it is about 3 o'clock. But sometimes you just have to close your door and focus your mind. But you need to get all those out. Sometimes they're all jumbled up, but they're really not that much. They're just jumbled. And you got to get them out and write them down somewhere. I've had all these thoughts all this week, and I've taken a piece of paper. I've opened up my organizer. Friday, I'm going to do this. Thursday, probably won't do it Thursday. Friday, I'm going to do this. Monday, I'm going to do this. And you just got to get it out. Where does it fit on your timeline? Who can help you? Sometimes you just got to, and a lot of times it helps to say it. Sometimes I'll be confused about something and I'll call in one of the other gals and I'll go, now I'm going to say this, tell me if it makes sense. And just saying it helps us organize our thoughts a lot of times. A lot of times it's all jumbled up in there. We got all these thoughts all crisscrossing each other. And sometimes just saying it helps get it out. Yes, ma'am.
Do you know of anybody who's begun to use the iPad, and are they pleased with it, or?
Oh, we have quite a few Mac lovers
new, so
here.
They're gonna all say they're pleased with it, but I mean,
yeah, I know Brother Schmidt and Brother Lofgren both have them, and they love them. But I'm not an iPad. I'm not the.
I know.
When they're real cheap, I might buy one.
Yeah, yeah.
But they take them everywhere. Yeah, we talked about having them, using them for reserve seating. Yes, ma'am.
Do you enlist non-members or old visitors to help?
For safe things, yes. For example, the delegate bags that you got. We had a team of 45 people in this lobby Saturday morning packing all your packets. And that was all kinds of people. All kinds. We had every year we have delegates who are here early who come help do that kind of stuff. It's kind of funny. But yes, something like stuffing bags, stuffing envelopes, making copies, cleaning buildings. We do use some visitors, non-members, for that kind of thing. But if you're making phone calls or those kinds of things, we would not have a non-member doing those kinds of things. Yes, ma'am? Pastor teaches our whole staff, Franklin Covey. He'll send us to a seminar or bring a seminar in here every couple of years. Many of us, which he expects us to know the term time activation and to be able to schedule things out. He doesn't require all of us to use that, but he requires us to use something, whether it's a computer or a piece of paper. But Franklin Covey is the basis of what we do here. Yes, ma'am. Any other questions? Okay, let's pray, and it's lunchtime. If you have lunch A, I'm sure your tummy's growling. Let's pray. Thank you again, our Heavenly Father, for these few minutes together, and I pray that you would help these ladies and remind them that their service is for you, and I pray that you'd give them organization and diligence and excellence in their ministry, and that they would provide excellent support for their staff, their pastor in these areas. Lord, we love you, and I pray that you bless the remainder of these few hours we have together, and may these ladies go home and implement what you've put on their heart. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.